Shabbat Shalom. Ma tovu ohalecha Yaakov, mishkenotecha Yisrael. Profound words that we chant every day in the Torah. Sorry, from the Siddur. They come from the Torah portion of this week, Balak. Balak the wicked one. Balak the one who attempted to have a curse put on Israel. So the story goes, Balak, the chief of the Moabites, living in the land that they occupied, one day woke up and there was Israel grazing their sheep, their animals in the land. And Balak had an issue with that apparently because he went to the prophet Balaam, the soothsayer, the one who is known to be able to curse and have powerful blessings, but he wanted the curse. So he went to Balaam. And Balak, well, he sent his messengers to Balaam and said, which asked Balaam, go to Balak and help him curse the people of Israel. Balaam said, I'm sorry, I'm a little busy. Besides, I can only say what God puts in my mouth, and sent them away. Balak, not satisfied, sent the next rung up, asking Balaam, pleading Balaam to come and curse the people Israel. Second time, Balaam says, I'm sorry, I'm busy, and I can only say what God puts in my mouth. The magic third time, Balak sends the high messenger, like his sidekick. He says, we will give you great status in the land if you come and curse the Hebrews. This time Balaam goes, still in his heart knowing he can only say what God puts into his mouth. So he goes, and Balak takes him to a high promontory where he can see part of the tribe of Israel down in the valley, and has Balak and his people slay 7 rams and 7 sheep, make great offerings. And then Balaam turns to Balak and says, I cannot curse the people. Balak, I'm convinced, surely if we go to a different view, you will be able to curse the people. So he takes him to another promontory, builds another altar, 7 more sheep, 7 more calves. A second holy barbecue, and again, no curse. And then the third time, takes him to the promontory Bamoth, the highest point, where from there Balaam can see almost all the tribe. And Balak pleads him, please, curse the people. 7 more, and 7 more, a third holy barbecue. And the words that come out of Balaam's mouth are, Ma tovu ohalecha Yaakov, mishkenotecha Yisrael. How good are your tents? How good are your tents? And how good is this tent? Take a look around. I mean, it's a nice tent, but take a look around the people in this tent. Ohalecha becomes a mishkenotecha. A tent becomes a dwelling place when we invoke that dwelling space. So thank you for coming and building a beautiful mishkenotecha here. So who is Balaam? How is Balaam able to resist power, perhaps wealth, maybe even fame with the Moabites, those amongst who he dwells? How is he able to do this? Anyone have any ideas? What are the characteristics that you might imagine Balaam possesses?
Faith.
Integrity. Integrity.
Compassion.
Humility.
Clear seeing and humility.
Surrender.
Inner strength.
Knowledge.
non-attachment. Balaam is one who channels the divine, one who's connected to God, one who will only bless or curse based on the words that are put into his mouth by the Holy One itself. Balaam strikes me as a really, really important model for our times, don't you think? And really a powerful model for this very day. What is today? As we light these candles and as the sun goes down, what period of time are we entering into today? We're going into the 3 weeks, the Ben HaMitzarim, the days in between the 17th of Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av. The 3 week period where we go into remembering grief, remembering tragedy. It is our history to remember on the 17th of Tammuz and to fast from food and water, if you fast from water. To remember the breaking of the outer walls of the temple. And then 3 weeks from now, on the 9th of Av, to fast again, commemorating the destruction of the temple. But the rabbis don't just pause there. They understand that there's a deep teaching in these days, that we are to remember that which brings us grief collectively and perhaps individually as well. So we put the tragedies of our people, and I would hope, God willing, all peoples, into this time of grieving. At the time when the sun is fullest in the year, we go into the darkest places within ourselves to remember and to grieve through fasting and prayer. And in the tradition, we don't do big celebrations these 3 weeks. It is an austere time. My daughter agrees. And even more so in this time, I'm wondering how many of you are asking yourself, what's the world going to be like in 10 years, 20 years? I'm asking that question because in almost every conversation I get into with friends and new acquaintances, with my teachers, with my students, this seems to be the topic. Whether we're discussing climate change or the politic of the day, we are in very trying times. Would you agree?
Yes.
I would agree too. But I want to give credit to my beloved wife, my Eshet Chayil, Rachel Ruach. In really exploring Balaam and what he represents and how it relates to the times we are in. We came in that conversation from that place of faith that we possess, from that place of strength and clarity and humility. And really the key medicine that it feels like Balaam is providing us now from the ancient Torah is that quality of inner strength, of resolve, of faith, of surrender, of really being able to stay in the silence, the inner silence, even while the world around him is swirling. Great influence. A war is brewing. He is the tool of that war. And he is asked to leave his center over and over and over again, and he does not. He stays in his faith, integrity, and power. And he channels what his vessel is ready to channel on behalf of God. And of course, there are many ways to express ourselves in challenging times. But from Balaam, I feel that this is one medicine that we all can benefit from to get our instructions, to get our clarity, to stay in our groundedness so that we may be resilient beings individually and collectively in these times. How does that sound? So I'd love you to take one moment. Turn to someone next to you, right close. Take 30 seconds and just share one way that you want to bring Balaam into the next 3 weeks into the Bein HaMetzarim, the days in between. And we'll have a little short share back before we dive into our prayer. So take 30 seconds together. All right. I'm glad that your juices are flowing with this conversation. I invite you to continue after the Kabbalat Shabbat services, but I'd love to hear from three people, like one to three words. What did this invoke in you before we stand up for the Baruch?
Intuition.
Fear.
Gratitude. With intuition, fear, gratitude, and your whole self, we invite you to rise for the Baruch Hu to enter that conversation with the Holy One.